Hello, welcome back to the crime show. This is me and my anxiety self. Anxiety, say hi. Okay, you don't want to, no problem. See, how is everyone's quarantine going? Quarantine more of a lockdown. We just say quarantine because we don't want it to look like we are like in a, I don't know why, but like look fancy. It sounds fancy. I say because it's fancy. I'm in quarantine. It's like a spoiled rich brat thing. Okay, let's just get started without any dumb fuckeriness. I just hope everybody's safe. Everybody's quarantined, everybody's social distancing. Spend time with yourself and your loved ones and try not to kill yourself because it's really too many cases to cover. Okay, let's get started. Just want to say before we get started that to become a serial killer, there is a few things that you don't have a trauma. I'm not like pointing out someone. If you don't have a trauma, that doesn't mean you cannot be a serial killer. It's just one detail that fucks you up. Like completely, like I don't know why I do that. God, I have to stop doing that. It's coronavirus. I have to like stop. Okay, let's just get started without any dumb fuckiness again. I have said that twice and I haven't yet started. Alicia, let's get started. So, starting in 3, 2, 1. He was charming, good looking, and charismatic. But underneath his seemingly good natured personality was an evil, sadistic monster. This man who plagued areas all across the United States and who killed over 30 victims outsmarted the police, close friends, family and the general public for years. This man was none other than one of the country's most horrific killers, Ted Bundy, also known as Theodore Robert Bundy. Ted Bundy was born in Burlington, Vermont on November 24, 1946. He lived his childhood years believing his parents to be Samuel and Eleanor Cowell. However, later he learned that his sister Louise was in fact his biological mother. Samuel and Eleanor were actually his maternal grandparents, with no information who or where his real or biological father was. It's unclear how Ted uncovered the family secret, but former friend and true crime reporter Anne Rule believed that he found his birth certificate after having his own suspicions about his upbringing. When Ted was only 4 years old, he moved to Tacoma, Washington. Tacoma, I think that's how it's pronounced. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, you can always tell me. I'm used. Like, you just can tell me. With Louise, where she met Johnny Culpepper Bundy. They married a year later and Johnny legally adopted Ted. He graduated high school in 1965 and within a year was attending the University of Washington. An incredibly bright student, Ted was studying Chinese when he met and fell in love with another fellow student, Stephanie Brooks. Unfortunately, Stephanie did not return the love. Fearing Ted was unambitious and lazy, many psychologists have pinpointed his breakup with Stephanie as the turning point in his development from violent fantasy to reality. Devastated by the breakup, Ted became more goal-oriented, taking a job as a delegate for Nelson Rockefeller on his 1968 presidential campaign. Enrolling in undergraduate school for law and volunteering at suicide prevention hotline, where he meets and befriends author Anne Rule, who becomes an integral part in telling Ted's stories years later. See, I just wanna say this because I want to say this. Behind every successful man there is a woman. If we see Ted Bundy as successful, there are 3 to 4 women behind him and 30 to 100 victims in front of 100 of women in front of him. Just wanna say that. Okay, let's just move on. I don't know why I said that, I just wanted to say that because I'm dumbass bitch. Okay. Ted also began a relationship with Elizabeth Clofer. Elizabeth K. Let's go with K. A young mother who, like Anne Rule and other friends of Ted, never suspected he was the ruthless killer he eventually becomes. At least not at first. Elizabeth began to piece together some bizarre situation that eventually led her to place a tip on Ted to local police station. Bitch. He had unexplainable items in the house and in his car, such as medical equipment and crutches, which were odd objects for a law student to own. Who the fuck gives you a right to judge him? God. Indian social order. Okay, Ted Bundy was not Indian, sorry. Human social order. But these white supremacists, they just have to not judge everyone. Especially these women, na? See, they are such bitches. Okay. In addition, Ted drove the exact car witnesses reported as a suspected killer's vehicle, the infamous Volkswagen Beetle. Okay, fine, we get it. There were so many coincidences. During the relationship, Ted sparked up an affair with ex-lover Stephanie, who saw a new side to her former flame. After months of their secret affair and even an apparent engagement, Ted disappeared from Stephanie's life as quickly as he came into it. After he ended things with her, he continued his relationship with Elizabeth, but things were about to get much worse for these two. I'm telling you, believe me, because I have the script. I know, you can Google also. Tharak dekh lo bande ka, do bande patake baith raha hai, pe ek nahi mil raha humko. Although there is no real consensus on when Ted murdered his first victim, as his stories have changed throughout the years, Karen Sparks was the first known victim who was attacked shortly after he terminated his engagement to Stephanie. It's like, okay, just trying to process it, because the worst will take a lot more time to process it. Ow. Ted broke into her basement apartment on January 4th, 1974. He blanched and sexually assaulted her with a metal rod. Ouch. Miraculously, she lived despite her extensive injuries. A month later, Ted abducted Linda Ann Healy, an undergrad who was last seen leaving for work. That background noise is of a quarren. And that's my sister. Throughout the year of 1974, women were disappearing in the Seattle area, and at a rate of about one per month, 12 women. That's fast math. This concerned detectives gravely, as many of the women were never seen or heard from again. They had very little understanding as to who was behind the killings or the kidnappings. The only connection they formed amongst the victims were the striking resemblance they all had to each other. They were all young and attractive, with long hair parted down the middle. On June 11th, George Ann Hawkins was last seen talking to a man with a leg cast and crutches, struggling to carry a briefcase. The man was described as young, handsome brunette, driving a tan Volkswagen Beetle. Although police scoured through the alleyway in which she was last seen, there was no evidence or explanation as to what happened to her. Most of the attacks at night, mostly in secluded residential areas. However, on July 14, Ted made his way to Lake Sammamish State Park in Washington. He approached a young woman to ask for help moving his sailboat. However, when she got into his car and realized there was no boat, she left. The same luck would not be granted for Janice Ann Ott and Denise Maria Naslund. Two young women who were reportedly seen talking with Ted before vanishing. Fuck. Witnessing at the park, all witnesses at the park all told investigators the same story. A man named Ted was approaching women for help retrieving his boat. They now had detailed description of his appearance, his car, and now they knew his name. Andrew, a professor at Ted's college, and even his own girlfriend reported him to the police, but unfortunately nothing came to their tips. This led Ted to make his way to the Salt Lake City to attend law school at the University of Utah. It was here in the late summer months of 1974, a savage string of killings ended in Seattle and started in Utah. On November 8, Ted approached Carol Daronce, in the parking lot of shopping center where he posed as a detective. He told Carol he witnessed an attempted theft of her car and asked her to accompany him to the police station to file a report. She took off with Ted. In her accounts, Ted became increasingly agitated and aggressive during their ride. He attempted to handcuff Carol. But botched the attempt to restrain her, cuffing only one hand. Remarkably, Carol fought back and was able to remove herself from the car and escape. An angry Ted drove off and murdered 70-year-old Deborah Jean Kent instead that night, who was taken from her high school parking lot. Police ended up finding key to Carol's handcuff where Deborah was last seen, linking Ted to an attempted kidnapping and a murder on the same night. More disappearances took place within the next year. However, I love the however, that would all end on August 16, 1975, when Ted gets pulled over by a highway patrol. The officer noticed a ski mask, rope, and handcuffs. All the items initially assumed to be used to burglarize nearby homes. Ted was arrested, and after his car was impounded for the evidence linking him to the attempted kidnapping of Carol DeRange and her choosing him in a lineup, Ted was formally charged with aggravated kidnapping and attempted criminal assault. Oh, thank God. It's like a relief that the Quentin Tarantino movie finally has a climax. His trial took place in February of 1976, where Carol herself testified against the imprisoned Bundy. A judge found him guilty and convicted him to 1 to 15 years in prison, though a much severe sentencing awaited him in Colorado. Ted was linked to a murder in Aspen and was transferred to their state prison in 1977. As Ted awaited trial, he strategized a plan to fire his legal staff and represent himself. This allowed him to have full access to prison library and to work on his case for long hours through the day. What Ted was really working was on his plan to escape. उसकी माँ बेचारी क्या सोच रही होगी, बच्चे को क्या बनाने चले थे, क्या बन गया. Oh God. Sadly, his mother wasn't his support, that he did not do any of these kind of monsterical stuff. Even only his brother was against him, except I think only his brother was against him. Richie Bundy. Because he thought he could have done this. Like, during the trial, he changed and stuff. Okay. On June 7, 1977... Ted jumped from the second story floor of Garfield County Jail in Colorado on foot. He made way to deserted log cabin where he broke in for food and shelter. After stealing a car, 6 days later, he pulled over for minor traffic violation, but was ultimately caught when officer realized who the driver was. Famished and injured, Ted was taken back to prison. But this wouldn't be his last escape. On December 30th, Ted devised another plan to break out of prison, only this time he would be more successful. He sawed a hole through his cell, creating a crawl space that led him directly to the apartment of the warden. As no one in the apartment at that time, Ted broke in, stole his clothes, and walked out of the front door. By the time anyone noticed he wasn't in his cell, Ted was already halfway across the country. What the fuck? How? It's like Ocean's 11 or 8. Or any Ocean's. She's moving with the diamond on her ear. What? People have to check. Check everyone who's leaving. You're in a prison with Ted Bundy. He was off to start a new life. Ted would unfortunately continue to take the lives of innocent women. How is that a new life? One and the same thing, huh? Dumbass. This time in the state of Florida, on the night of January 15th, hey, my sister's birthday. And one of my favorite days, because I get to have cake. 1 week after he arrived in Tallahassee, I think that's how it's pronounced, Tallahassee, that sounds like a weird Indian word a foreigner is trying to say. Okay, whatever it is. Ted broke into the Florida State University Chi Omega Sorority House. He attacked 4 sleeping women, killing Margaret Bauman and Lisa Levy. After he left the house, Ted went on to attack two more unsuspecting victims sleeping just a few blocks away from the campus. Perhaps the most devastating murder of his terrors through Florida was that of a 12-year-old student, Kimberly Diane Leach, who Ted abducted from school grounds. Holy shit. I'm 13. Crap. It's like the devil is walking through up my spine and going up like, he is here. After an extensive search, Kimberly's remains were found weeks later. An increasingly paranoid feeling began to take over Ted as he feared police for tracking his every move. On February 15th, 1 month later, that feeling proved to be true. Ted was arrested after being pulled over for driving a stolen vehicle. A scuffle took place between Ted and the arresting officer. He was finally subdued and taken back into custody, where he would pay the ultimate price for his heinous crimes. Despite the many lives lost held against Ted, he was only initially tried for the attacks at the Chi Omega House and the death of Kimberly Diane Leach. Ted opted to defend himself again, but after an incriminating amount of evidence against him, he was convicted of murder, and sentenced to death. During his trial, Ted infamously got married to Carol Ann Boone, a lifelong friend who stayed by his side during his years of imprisonment. Together, the two even had a daughter while he was on death row. What a love story. Don't tell it to Karan Johar. In addition to the bizarre marriage, Ted conducted a variety of confessions in apostrophes, some of which were captured on tape, where he details his crimes and then reasoning behind them. He even divulged the gruesome things he would do to the body post-mortem, including necrophilia, even dressing them up in makeup and taking photographs of them. On the eve of his death, how philosophical or Shakespeare kind of it sounds. On the eve of his death, they came and they met. On the eve of his death, he confessed to 30 murders, though the true total remains unknown. Ted Bundy met his fate on January 24th, 1989, after being on death row for more than a decade. Although it doesn't bring back the number of women who lost their lives at the hands of this monster, it brings a small amount of closure to the families who had to live without them and had to go through the inhuman process that went on for years, and just to breathe the same air, stay in the same environment with the person who might have taken their loved ones away from them or killed them, to be brutally killed them, murdered them actually. Ted described himself as the most cold-hearted son of a bitch you'll ever meet. At least he got one thing right. So we are at that segment. It's like not a segment or even anything. It's just it's a small thing I have to just like say, I think. Yeah, that's the ringer. That's timing up, warning kind of a thing. It's that Ted Bundy once said that we serial killers are husbands, sons, fathers, brothers. We are everywhere. We will exist in the society. He said that for me, that's really a right thing. That's one right thing he said. The second right thing he said, because if we are seeing right now what's happening all around the world, not only a specific country, serial killers are now the ones controlling the community, the media. That serial killers are not how they were portrayed before. Like, serial killers are people with a fucked up childhood, or they don't have knowledge or anything. Right now, if you see, even the educated can turn into serial killer, or like turn into a serial killer. I just want to say that. I don't know why, but yeah, that added to the segment. Because I wanted to say that if you think that serial killers is the person who will stalk you and like stalk you, follow you everywhere you go, that might not be the serial killer you. That might not be the only type of serial killer right now. And if you want to know about more about Ted Bundy, you can always read Stranger Beside Me, and there is Falling for the Killer, an Amazon Prime original recently released. There is Confessions of a Killer. There is Conversation. There is Ted Bundy Tapes. So yeah, let's just yeah. Okay. So before we go, we just have to. We do this a lot of times. We do almost every time I record an episode. I want us. Let's see whose birthday is today or yesterday. April, where is it? Okay, tomorrow is Herbert Mullins' birthday, 18th April. Happy birthday. Hope you rot in hell. If I meet you there, please don't kill me, because I would be dead. But don't kill the dead. Happy birthday, Robert Black, 21st April. And I'm sounding really dull. And happy birthday, Steve, right? 24th April. Ted Bundy, no, 24th November, dude. I think that's it. Happy birthday to all these people. And happy birthday to Albert. Very advanced happy birthday to Albert Fish. Hope you are rotting in hell. Thank you, guys. Please come back and listen to the next podcast, which would be out very soon. And hope you liked it. If you didn't, just go follow True Stories with A on Instagram. And come back to the crime show. I will be here to annoy you with more weird cases. And I would be here with one more episode of Faceless and Forgotten. Bye bye. Stay safe. Take care. And hope you like the outro music.